They'd say some of the sharpest things to each other. Would you just have to let them get it out of their system? And then I'd say, okay, get your math out. And they'd settle down and do what they had to do.
I think well-disciplined class is usually a class to learn. And
what?
I think a well-disciplined class is one to usually learn and do well.
Well, if you don't have discipline in your class, you just as well let the children run the yard.
I guess that's the biggest problem now in schools and in public schools.
That is, it's discipline. One of my former pupils came back here to teach, Calhoun. Her father was a Methodist minister here. And I had taught others in his family, and she was the youngest one. And she started teaching Spanish her first year out at school. And she asked me, she said, "Miss, give me some advice." And I said, "Well, Margaret, you start out as mean as the devil." I said, "Don't raise your thumb the whole first year." Because I said, if you don't start out being strict, consistently strict, you can always loosen up. But once you loosen up, you never can put your thumb down. And after teaching a couple of years, she told me, she said, "Miss Seymour, you sure knew what you were telling me." And they thought she was mean as the devil the first year she taught out there. They tell me, that new teacher sure is strict. But after you get to know your pupils, you can have a little fun with them. But I never had any trouble like that because the kids would hear about me in junior high school, see? I taught in junior high 7 years. And they'd hear about me in junior high because they'd had older brothers and sisters who had me in high school. And I never had any trouble tightening up because they knew when they came in my room, it was business.
Yes, ma'am. I guess that's sound advice, the way it has to be. So, you mentioned your sister. How many children were there in your family?
Six. Mom and Papa had four girls and then two boys.
Did they all stay in Selma after?
They stayed in Selma. Well, one sister, Mary Maine, went to Asheville to live.
And North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina. And I used to spend the summers up there with her. I love North Carolina. Now I have a brother, the youngest member of the family, lives in Charlotte. And he also has an apartment in Palm Springs, and they're down there now. But his home is in Charlotte. And another sister, one just younger than I, who went to Brunel with me that 1 year. A man came here to teach school, and he just thought she was what he wanted, so they married. And he went on, and he taught chemistry in high school, and then he became superintendent of schools here. When he left, he was superintendent of schools here. And then when he came back from service in World War II, they went to Decatur to live. And then my other sister, Mary Selma Bourne, lived here. She's lived here all of her life.
So you really were fairly close.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was home for everybody. Of course, the two boys didn't work in Selma. They left Selma to work. One of the brothers was with Procter & Gamble for all of his working life.
That's in where is Procter & Gamble?
Cincinnati.
Right, right.
Headquarters.
That's a large.
Buckeye Cotton Oil Company, they used to own it. Did you know they spend more money for advertising? Procter & Gamble spends more money for advertising on television than any other outfit in the nation.
I didn't know that. I did know the number of products that you normally wouldn't associate with Procter & Gamble, such as
Charmin. Procter & Gamble.
Are Procter & Gamble products?
They're Procter & Gamble products.
Of course, Charmin tissue paper.
Yeah. And then, oh, gee, Whittakins of a life.